Good morning and welcome to Plugged Into Long Island. I'm Donna Donna, my guest in the studio today from the Economic Opportunity Council of Suffolk County, specifically from Supportive Services for Veteran Families of Suffolk County, which will be heretofore known as SSVF. We have employment specialist Stacy Castro.
Good morning, Donna Donna.
And we also have Rich DeLasso, who is the outreach coordinator. Good morning, Rich.
How you doing?
And we have veteran Aisha Silva, who is a Marine Corps veteran, Aisha.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
It is a pleasure to have you here. It is a pleasure to have you all here. And first of all, let's mention our event right off the bat. Why don't you tell us about it, Stacy?
Yes, we're having a race, a 5K race. It's called 5K for Fighters. And the race proceeds are all going towards female veteran unmet needs.
And why did you feel like it was necessary to separate the sexes here?
When females transition out of the military, they have different needs that their male counterpart doesn't necessarily have. They may have relocated due to a failed marriage or a changing marriage. They may have relocated when they were displaced from the military, when they came back home. They're set up with a different set of situation and circumstances than the male counterpart veteran has.
So the 5K in support of female veterans of Suffolk County is happening on October 8th at Shorefront Park in Patchogue. 9 a.m. is that registration time?
No, that's the race start time. Okay. Registration is, day of registration is 8 o'clock.
Okay, 8 a.m. And can you register online in advance?
Yes, you can. On the Elite Feats website, eliteFeats.com, and search for 5K for Fighters.
Yeah, just go to the events and put in 5K for Fighters, and it'll come right up. So, Aisha, you're here. You're beautiful. You're somewhat petite. And I am dying to know about your experiences as a female in the Marine Corps and what your challenges have been since you've gotten out of the service.
Well, first, I would like to say that today is actually my 19-year anniversary of graduating boot camp.
What? So. Oh, my God. You know, you barely look over 19 years old.
And I love the fact that you pointed out I'm petite. I was actually a Marine Corps drill instructor also for 3 years.
Awesome.
So, yeah, no, anytime I needed to yell at a tall recruit, I'd actually step up on a footlock or make them come down to my level. So being petite was never a problem for me.
Wow, that's great. Where are you from originally?
I'm actually from Long Island, yes.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up, I moved around a lot as a kid, so I grew up everywhere in Central Islip, Brentwood, and Bayshore.
Mm-hmm. First of all, what age were you when you joined the military?
I joined the military right out of high school, so I was 18 years old.
And what motivated you to do that?
I grew up in a low-income family, so at the time, I was the only person who would have been seeking college in my family, mm-hmm. and it just didn't seem like an option for me. The military was.
And why did you choose the Marine Corps?
I had an uncle who was a Marine, so he always came home and spread his motivation everywhere he went. So I was like, yeah, I want to be like him when I grow up. So I did.
That's great. It must have been challenging.
It definitely was. And you're right, being small as a woman in the Marine Corps, it was only in my head that I couldn't do anything because Marines come together as a family and they let you know that quitting is not an option.
Oh, that's great.
So yeah, that small complex didn't last very long at all.
That's great. Well, and I'm not very good at math. So what year was it that you joined? Because you said this is
1998. I joined, yeah.
1998. Okay, so that was pre-Afghanistan, pre-Iraq.
Yes, it was.
And post-Desert Storm.
Yes.
Let me ask you, were there a lot of women in your recruiting class?
I didn't think so.
Did you have women to commiserate with in your boot camp?
Of course. Well, women in the Marine Corps are the smallest branch of females in any branch of service.
Sure.
So, whether we had a big platoon, which would be considered maybe 80 recruits, to a small platoon of 40, 45, we're all sisters. It didn't matter at what point in our careers or history they join.
And you found a sisterhood in the Marine Corps?
Absolutely.
You supported
Absolutely.
Each other?
Yes.
And was it tough? Was there a lot of gender discrimination?
At the time, no. I didn't think so. Again, like, you know, Marines, we do come together as a family. If there is or was any gender discrimination, I certainly didn't see it myself. Or maybe I just have such a hard out shell that I just didn't even notice it. Or, you know, I'd smack back or something, you know, say something smart if something was said to me about my size or being a girl or telling me go make a sandwich. You know, I'll tell you, go make my sandwich. So.
What was it like to be, would I say, raised to the rank of drill sergeant?
Marines are called drill instructors.
I
was an E5, so I was a sergeant. You go to drill instructor school, and they pretty much make you go through boot camp all over again.
Oh, goody.
From an opposite perspective. So it teaches you how to teach how to not die, basically. It's pretty much the biggest responsibility you can have as a service member is training those young men and women, you know, to defend their country.
Did you get resistance from the recruits?
Absolutely not. No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh,
no. It's not like now I'm a teacher and I teach in the high school and I say the difference between high school kids and the military kids is these high school kids have an option to listen to me. Recruits don't.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I get it. And so how long were you in the military?
I served for 8 years. My first 4 or 5 years, I was stationed at the Presidential Helicopter Squadron in Quantico, Virginia. And then 3 years as a drill instructor in Parris Island.
Okay, so you didn't have to go into combat?
No, fortunately for me, those two units are both non-deployable units because being at the Presidential Helicopter Squadron, that is our first mission, is taking care of the squadron and the helicopters. And then as a drill instructor, that is also our first mission, is taking care of the recruits.
Right.
So anyone who is stationed there during any time of deployment, that's their job right there.
What are the presidential helicopters?
If you see... They're called white tops. So anytime you see the president flying anywhere, those little helicopters, they're not little. The helicopters that land on the White House and take him anywhere with the white tops on them that he comes out and waves.
Wow.
Yeah. So I served there for 4 years.
Did you interact with any presidents over?
I do have an exiting picture with President Bush.
Okay.
I do.
Wow. I don't mean to derail the conversation away from SSVF, Supportive Services for Veterans Families, but to have the chance to chat with, as I mentioned, an attractive, petite, female, former Marine Corps drill instructor is a rare opportunity and quite fascinating. But let's talk about SSVF. Stacy, tell us what you guys offer for veterans.
Well, SSVF is a government grant, and primarily our focus is housing first. And what we look to do is place veterans that are either homeless or in jeopardy of becoming homeless in a situation where they can now be housed and sustain that housing on their own.
If someone knows of a veteran who is homeless or about to become homeless, how do they get in touch with you?
They should call the office directly, and that number is 631-289-2601, and that's any veteran that's in need. We can connect them with services.
Give us that number one more time.
631-289-2601.
And there are a website, because everybody's using the computer more than the phone these days.
Absolutely. The website is
EOC-Suffolk.com. Okay, EOC-Suffolk.com. Now, the 5K on October 8th at Shorefront Park in Patchogue is specifically to help female veterans. So let's talk about some of the challenges that you feel female veterans face. What have you been dealing with?
Primarily, when I was brought into Economic Opportunity Council, I was a employment specialist. But being that I had a background of being a veteran myself.
You're a veteran, too?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
We all are.
Oh, wow. I am so impressed. I'm sorry. You guys came in, you know, and you just look like somebody you might meet at the mall. But what branch of the service were you in, Stacey?
The Marines.
You were a Marine also.
Yeah.
Did you guys know each other? Through the Economic Opportunity Council that you met each other.
That's correct. That's correct.
And when were you in the Marine Corps?
2000 to 2004.
Okay. And what did you do? What was your...
Oh, 7051. I was crash fire rescue.
Holy smokes. Did you have to do a lot of rescues?
I was deployed. I was in a deployable unit. So, yeah.
Where were you?
I served in OIF, OEF.
You served?
I was served in Kuwait and Iraq.
Wow. I just have so much admiration for men and women who have the guts. I don't want to say balls, who have the guts to join the military. So I'm sorry, Stacey, I derailed you. We're talking about specific challenges for the female veterans.
That's okay. So, you know, in my role, primarily what I do is I help the veterans find employment. However, in that role, you know, what I found as I'm dealing with all the, you know, the female veterans is that their transition is different when they come out. And, you know, for some people, when they come out, you know, they're going back to their homes and their families are there and they're supportive. And, you know, they may, you know, go along their life path fine. But there are other veterans that isn't necessarily what happens. They're going to hit a bump in the road. Maybe they have a relationship that breaks up, or maybe they have, you know, family members have moved on, or, you know, people that they grew up with have moved on, or maybe they can't go back to where they had grown up. And when those things start to happen, you know, the veterans begin to feel stressed. And veterans are very proud. You know, we worked really hard at what we did to provide. And when you come home, you want to still feel like you accomplished something. And you come home and, you know, you're looking at, you know, your time that you spent overseas or wherever you were. And, you know, you're looking at coming into a job that's an entry level job, making a lot less than you did because you don't have the degree that somebody else stayed home and got. And you're still working to get your degree, and it becomes very disheartening. And, you know, veterans will get themselves into situations that, unfortunately, you know, they get panicked and, you know, happen. So we're there to prevent that from happening, to stop it from happening, and to hopefully go back and take care of anybody that it has happened to. Females are a little bit different because the female veteran always has a struggle. And the female veteran's struggle really starts as soon as they enter the military. And that struggle is actually proving that they are what they say they are. There is
proving they're up to the task.
They're constantly being questioned. They are constantly being, you know, second guessed as to whether they were a veteran, whether they actually served, were they what they really were. You know, and it happens everywhere. It happens everywhere you go. You know, I visit, you know, the veterans in VAs and areas all over the place. And I can tell you that, you know, 9 times out of 10, when I walk into somewhere, even me, you know, being a service representative, they'll say, oh, it wasn't you who served. It was your husband. Oh, you're not really a veteran. Come on. You know, I've had people ask me, you know, trivia questions, you know, trying to disprove me as to what I was. And it's, you know, it's very disheartening. So many of the female veterans actually will not even self-identify. They don't even say anything anymore because they don't want to have to deal with how belittling and uncomfortable that makes somebody feel.
But when you're discharged from the military, don't you receive some sort of paperwork?
Absolutely,
that
you do.
Proves
absolutely, but you're not going to walk around and like plaster that on your head,
right? Okay,
you know?
Okay, I see.
But absolutely, you do. But you shouldn't have to prove who you are.
Yep.
You know,
exactly.
Unfortunately, are there cases of stolen valor? Absolutely, but you know, you have to also remember that there are a very significant number of women in all different branches of the military that deserve that, you know, those accolades and that need help. And unfortunately, because of the stigmatism about being, you know, a female in different branches of the service and saying something, they won't look for help. You know, they'll hide.
I would imagine, though, that that's a universal problem of veterans feeling perhaps too proud to ask for help, male or female.
Absolutely. That is definitely universal. Absolutely.
But especially women.
But especially women. Because men, while people expect them to be the model, if you were to close your eyes right now, and I asked you, close your eyes and picture in your head a Vietnam veteran, the first image in your mind is going to be a male. You know, it doesn't matter what you've got in the men. It doesn't matter their color or anything. All you see is a male in some type of uniform.
Well, look at my reaction. Yeah. You both told me you were in the military and I was blown away, shocked. So let's try to raise awareness, at least to anybody who's listening to this program. You could be walking by a beautiful woman right now who was in the military.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I know women that have served 20 years and they outrank most of the men that are around.
Right.
and people will still question them. Mm-hmm. Did you really serve? Oh, you were reservist. You didn't deploy, though. And they look to downgrade you immediately. And it makes it very difficult. It makes it very difficult to transition.
Yeah.
But that's not the only reason why they have, you know, trouble. You know, a lot of females have children, you know. And if you're transitioning and you have children, you're moving those children, you're relocating those children, you're divorced, you're trying to track down a father for child support who lives in a different state. That's a very big financial burden.
And are you able, with the Economic Opportunity Council of Suffolk County, are you able to help with those problems?
Yes, we are. We have an amazing grant that lets us provide many things to them, such as, move-in fees, security deposits, help with rental assistance, utilities, child care. There are many things that grant covers, absolutely. And we do try and get the word out to as many people as we can that if there is a veteran in need, please tell them where to call.
So give us the number again and your website.
Okay. It's Economic Opportunity Council of Suffolk. We're located in Patchogue. The phone number is 631-289-2601. And the website is eoc-suffolk.com.
EOC-Suffolk.com. And did you personally face some of the challenges that you're talking about when you transitioned out of the military?
Yes, I did personally, yes.
And where did you go for help? Did you find help?
Marines are taught to adapt and overcome. So while I wouldn't discredit any other branch of the military, you know, I was fortunate to just fight my way through until I could get to where I needed to be. But I will say that my struggle would have been a lot easier had I known about SSVF. And I probably would have made a lot different changes in my life earlier had I known about that program.
Sure. So how did you find out about the program to get involved?
I found out from being at the VA and, just networking with people there and looking for a job where I could help veterans. Mm-hmm. And when I stumbled across this program, I was excited to be a part of it.
I can imagine, as someone who went through it yourself.
Absolutely.
Went through the difficulties yourself. Aisha, you were in the military for 8 years. What problems did you encounter when you transitioned back to civilian life?
For me, at first, I had a pretty easy transition because I was still married at the time, and my husband at the time was still active duty. So I really didn't feel like I had left the military community at first. So I ended up being a stay-at-home mom for about 3 years. But then I got a divorce, and that's when I decided to move back home with my children. Mm-hmm. And I did end up, through no fault of my own, becoming a homeless female veteran.
Yeah.
And it was EOC of Suffolk that helped me.
How'd you find them?
I went online, and I just typed in homeless female veteran. And some, I don't even remember the agency that first called me back, but a gentleman that called me back referred me to EOC, and literally the next day, a caseworker from EOC called me.
Wow. And so now you mentioned that you're a teacher?
I do. I actually work for the Youth and Adolescent Department at EOC of Suffolk. So I kind of feel like they have done so much for me, the agency itself. The Veterans Program, they did help me find a home. They paid for my first 3 or 4 months' rent. They paid for the down payment. And it was the person who was in Stacy's position now revised my resume, and they got me a job at EOC of Suffolk, and now I teach. Mm-hmm. And while I first got the job, they even paid for the first 4 months of daycare for me. So they really did everything that I could have needed to get myself back on my feet.
That is awesome. How old are your children now?
9 and 10.
Okay, so they're still young. And the EOC, and the Economic Opportunity Council of Suffolk County is funded by a grant, you mentioned, Stacy?
Yes. Well, the EOC has many different programs that they run, but the SSVF program is specifically funded by that grant, yes.
The SSVF program, if you're just joining us, Long Island, is Supportive Services for Veteran Families of Suffolk County. And the website is
EOC-Suffolk.com.
Okay. And Suffolk County, I have to say, I'm so proud of my county.
Are you aware that Suffolk County has the highest number of veterans in all of New York?
As a matter of fact, I am, because we had Steve Ballone in here several months ago to talk about the Suffolk County Marathon, which benefits veterans' causes. Mm-hmm. And I also know how, when I say I'm so proud of my county, not only because we have so many veterans, but because we also have so many veterans' services. It's really wonderful. And when you think that there are veterans out there who are still suffering from whatever it might be, lack of employment, homelessness, PTSD, whatever it is, and they just are not aware of some of the services that Suffolk County offers, let's remind everybody that there is help available through the Economic Opportunity Council and SSVF, Supportive Services for Veteran Families. You can find them online at eoc-suffolk.com. And we all like to say, let's support our troops, so now let's put our money where our mouth is, okay? And or let's put our money where our feet are. We want to talk about the race. Who's going to tell us the details of the race?
I'll talk about the race. So the race is to supply us with some funds to take care of females' unmet needs. You know, as Aisha said, you know, they were really able to set Aisha up for success, but that took a lot of different partnerships to make those things, you know, happen. And EOC was very fortunate to be able to take care of that. But there are sometimes other veterans that we have that, you know, we'll have things that we just can't meet. So, for example, I had a veteran that I dealt with this year, a lovely woman who had been married to another military member, and they were stationed in Washington, D.C. When she exited the military, she became a teacher in Washington, D.C., and had a very lucrative career. She was doing fantastic. She did become pregnant, and then wanted to get divorced. When she got divorced, she had no family in D.C. and was about to have a brand new baby. So she decided to move back home to Long Island, where she only had one family member and no network and no New York State licensing for teaching.
Oh boy.
She had already used all her GI Bill and all of those funds. And now she was in a position of trying to get a job as a teacher with no New York State license. So she was looking at walking into an entry-level teaching position at perhaps a, you know, daycare center or something. And this woman had been an adjunct professor at a college.
Yeah.
So very, very different dynamic at that point. She was pregnant. You know, she had a young, you know, about to have a young child in a completely different situation. She has so many other needs at that point that sometimes, you know, that's what these funds are able to provide stuff for. Luckily, we were able to get her another job. She is working. We have placed her in a home. She is very happy. I talk to her quite often. Her daughter is almost 1 year old now, and she's doing really well. As early as this past week, I can tell you that we also housed another female veteran who came into the program 8 months pregnant. She was still married, and she got a knock on her door 8 months pregnant saying, hey, did you know your home was uninhabitable? And by the way, you have to move out within a month. And she was living there. The home, you know, had some issues, and she wasn't aware of what was going on with the person that actually owned the home that she was renting. And she was given a month to vacate, 8 months pregnant. Mm-hmm. So we were able to step in and give her immediate emergency services. Thankfully, right when she had the baby that same week, her husband was moving them into a brand new apartment. We also were able to help them get their dog certified as an emergency, medical dog, so that he could go with them. You know, because in a, you know, in apartments, sometimes they have all different things that come up. And, you know, at least when she came out of the hospital, she was able to go to her brand new home.
Yeah.
Again, you know, those situations come up and you have emergency funds, you have things that they need in the moment that's what this race is meant to provide funds for. So for all those unmet needs and for all these circumstances that are out of the box that we would not be able to normally fill, that's what this is for.
Well, let's one more time mention to our runners out there, spread the word that the Elite Feats 5K for Fighters, you can go to elitefeats.com and you can put in 5K for Fighters, or you can go to the events page and look for 5K for Fighters. The date of the run is October 8th. Registration starts at 8 a.m. And can you register online?
Yes, you can. You can register online beforehand, and you could also register in person the day of the race, the morning of the race.
Okay, yes. And the run starts at 9 a.m.
That's correct.
Shorefront Park in Patchogue, October 8th. I cannot believe we're out of time already. It's just been fascinating talking to you ladies. So before we go, is there anything that we didn't talk about that you'd like to mention?
Yes. First of all, veterans, if you're out there, find each other and help each other. If you do need help and you do know a veteran that needs help, please call and get them help. You know, the race is open to everyone. There is a fun run for children. There is, you know, spots for your whole family to run. There is also going to be a Veterans Cadence March at the end. So any veterans that want to come and march to some cadence.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know, that's a wonderful feeling. And I'm sure any veteran right now is listening to it and remembering those sounds. And if you want to come down, please, please pre-register. Come down and march with us. Come down and run with us. And we are still looking for sponsorship. So if you want to get involved, please contact us. So the number will be 631-289-2601.
And they should contact you online.
Yes, at Elite Feats, and go to the events page and look for October 8th, 5K for Fighters.
And they can contact you through the EliteFeats.com website.
Yes, they can.
And you know what? Even if you're not a veteran or a runner, you can just show up at Shorefront Park in Patchogue on October 8th and cheer on the veterans and the runners to show your support. And I'm sure you'll enjoy the magnificence of the Cadence March, right?
Absolutely. It's a wonderful sight, and it's pretty exciting.
My guest in the studio this morning from the Economic Opportunity Council of Suffolk County, specifically from Supportive Services for Veteran Families, Stacy Castro, the Employment Specialist for Veterans, our Veteran Outreach Coordinator, Rich DeLasso. I know you wanted the girls to talk, so if you're sitting at home wondering, well, how come we never heard from the guy? Because he wants the spotlight to be on the ladies. And Aisha Silva, Marine Corps veteran, and what is your title at SSVF?
I'm a project coordinator in the Brentwood School District for the Youth and Adolescent Services Division.
Awesome. It's been wonderful to have you folks on the air today, Long Island. We will see you for the Elite Feats 5K for Fighters, October 8th at Shorefront Park in Patchogue. Get details on the event at elitefeats.com. That's ElitefeatS.com. And look for 5K for Fighters. Best of luck, folks. I hope you have a huge turnout on October 8th. And thank you for all you do for our veterans.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hoorah.